ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि. ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ. So we continue with this beautiful text of Puja Guruji. Last time we saw the difference between love and attachment. Attachment is born out of a need. In attachment, there is selfishness. The person who is attached doesn't say he or she is attached. He says, I love you. So the word love is used. It is only through the scriptures, reading these texts, we know that it is a lower form of love and it is actually called as attachment or asakti. It is not prem. If you say prem in Sanskrit, then it is the supreme love for God and it is unconditional. It is unselfish. There is no ulterior motive in it. And because this attachment has me as the center, selfish, it's me. So my needs have to be met. They may be emotional. They may be any other kind, mainly emotional. I should feel happy. I feel happy in your company. So if that happiness is not felt for some reason, or if that need is not satisfied for some reason, then that love is going to decrease. And like Guruji has said, there is love for many, many, attachment is there to many objects and the objects change. So we were very much in love with dolls or marbles when we were young, and then it changed to something else, something else. We know with food also, we maybe have loved something or not liked something and then things change. So attachment keeps changing. But when we say prem or love or supreme love, that never changes because the altar never changes. And there are some people who say that they are great devotees. And I'll give you the example. If anyone from Maharashtra has heard the name of Bal Thackeray, he was a politician. He was very much a devotee of Ganeshji. In Maharashtra, Ganpati is very popular. And his house was full of photographs, idols, you name it, of Ganeshji. And the minute his wife died, he lost faith in Ganesh. And all of those were removed at one shot. So that is attachment. That is lower love. It is because everything was going good for him and then she died suddenly. So that is then not love. That's why we have to be very careful, and we need to know the difference. In Hindi, they say asakti. Asakti means it can come. So ja sakti, it can go also. Attachment is like that. It'll come and it'll go. As long as I'm happy, it is there. If not, then I'm not. And therefore, Guruji has said that if there is ego, identification, right? If there is identification with my material equipments and those needs are fulfilled and therefore the love is there. Therefore, ahankaram tatha swartham, selfish. It is a selfish love where the center is me. It is not the beloved. The center is me. What suits me? How it suits me? I want to be, talk to you. So you need to phone me. And it's all about I. Whereas in real love, there is real love with people, then the person would always think, put the other person first. And I don't think I told you this story last time. So there is a story that goes, happens between Akbar and Birbal. All of you know the two characters. So Birbal was a wise minister in Akbar's court, Emperor Akbar. And Akbar asked him once, he said, whose love is the greatest love? Like for whom? And Birbal said, it is the love of the self that is the greatest. A person loves himself or herself the most. And Akbar said, no, that is not true. A mother loves her child the most. And Birbal said, no. So as usual, as all his stories go, Akbar said, you either prove this or I behead you. He's the emperor. That was his typical thing. So Birbal said, okay, no problem. Construct a tank, an empty tank. A tank was constructed and right in the middle, a pole was fixed. But that the tank, you know, the borders of the tank, the walls of the tank were higher than the pole. So the pole was not going above the boundary of the fine. Then they brought a monkey and her baby and they led them into the tank below. So there was nothing water there. So the mother and baby were playing and everything. Then they started putting water into that tank. So as the water came, the mother took the baby in her mouth and she started climbing the pole because, you know, and the water started rising. They started putting more. So as the water was rising, she was climbing up with the child, with the baby in her mouth. And she was climbing. But like I told you, the pole was shorter than the tank. So she reached the top of the pole and the water was still rising. And ultimately what she did was she took the baby, put him on the top of the pole and stood on top of the baby. Ultimately. When it comes to push to shove, it is ourself. Vedant also says the same thing. And I'll tell you the reason. There is a very valid reason. The thing is that Vedanta says that the self in me is God. Okay? So this self, which is God, is the most lovable thing. That's why everything that we do in life is for my happiness, for myself. Has anybody said, I want a child because I want sorrow? I want to get married because I want sorrow. I want this because I want sorrow. I want an education so I can get sorrow. Nobody says that. They get sorrow out of all those things. Maybe or maybe not. But everything that we do is for our happiness. Now when this, so attachment is because of that. Because ultimately the love for my own self, you know, when things start getting, I told you the example, if my arm starts getting, you know, gangrene sets in, the person, it's himself or herself will say, please amputate. Because the pain is now becoming unbearable. I cannot bear the pain. It's okay. I can lose a limb. Okay. So ultimately it is like, so when people say, you know, I'm dying to, that's very, nobody is dying to see anybody. You know, I was dying to see you and I was dying to talk to you and all that. Those kinds of spiritual seekers don't use, you should avoid this type of language. Anyway, so ego, I told you, is identification with one thing or other. We will be, in other texts, we'll talk about it more. And then Ishvara Sarva Bhutatma Sarva Dharopi Vaitata. I told you, Ishvara is the, God is the self in all beings. I told you the technical explanation for it because from a bhakti standpoint, this is faith. Bhakti is always based on faith. Knowledge is what is giving you the actual reason why it is. That's why I've told you. But what I told you, because like I said, if I tell you whatever Guruji has written, then you can also read it. There's no point in my telling you. So I've told you a technical explanation for that. How Ishvara, being the material cause, is in and through the creation. Because from Ishvara have come the five elements and the body is made out of the five elements. The mind, the pranas, the intellect, everything has come from the five elements. So that way he is the material cause. And then he controls, like if the thread shrinks, the cloth will shrink. So when the material shrinks, then a body goes fat and this thing. So that way he's the controller. So that is how we should understand it. And he is the existence principle. So he is holding the body, mind, and intellect. The matter equipment is being held. Now, we also saw verse 9, differences between attachment and devotion. So Guruji, attachment makes us blind. Why? Because in front of my own selfish motives, Dhritarashtra is a very, very good example. He wanted to be on the throne. He wanted the crown. Now, he did not see that there was so much injustice being done to the Pandavas. That is how we get blinded. So Gurudev's first, he opens the Bhagavad Gita in his saying that not only the king was physically blind, but he was even intellectually blind. So physical blindness is one thing, but then in his intellect also was clouded because of his attachment to his son. Attachment keeps changing from object to object. It reduces, it increases. So it's fluctuating. And it causes the fall of man, because then for this attachment here, addiction also is an attachment. It's you're dependent. Attachment gives you dependency. You depend. And then when that dependency is not there, then you are, the thing that you're depending on is not there, then you're miserable. So attachment will always cause misery. And I told you that also is there, you know, and you're my friend, so you cannot talk to anybody else. That is also there. Oh, I love, we are best friends, you know, but if that sort of an attitude is there, if you're best friends, you need to release that best friend. I don't know if I told you, two of my friends, they have only one daughter each. Both of them the daughters wanted to go to Toronto. They don't know each other, but I know both of them. Daughters wanted to go to Toronto after University of Toronto after grade 12. Both of them didn't allow. Both mothers did not allow. You need to let go the children. Of course, one of the girls has still, after so many years, she still says, "Mom, you did not let me go there." So it's held against the mother. And the mother came to me way afterwards. I said, "You should have come to me before. Then I would have told you. Now what is the point? Now you already did not let her go. Now so now after many years, she was still saying, "You, Mom, you didn't let me go. You know, all that sort of thing. Now what is the point? It's too late." So we need to, let go of our children also. Once they're, you know, old enough and all that, okay? It demands gross and demands gratification. Attachment is only because of course, because you, I get pleasure out of it. I get happiness out of it. I love you. If I don't, I'm going to let go. Attachment creates agitation. I told you, if it's not fulfilled, it'll create. And then disillusionment, frustration, all those are natural evils that are coming. So that up to there we had seen last time. Now bhakti visheshata. Vishishta yogyata peksha jnana yoga kriyadishu adhikarastu sarvesham bhakti yoge vinabhidam. Special qualifications are required of individuals for entering the path of knowledge, yoga, karma, etc. Whereas all without distinction are eligible for the path of devotion. So this is from Narad Bhakti Sutra also. That is where Narad Bhagwan says that bhakti is most superior. And why? Because there is no capital required. There's no qualification required. So if the person is following path of knowledge, minimum requirement, he needs to be able to read. Minimum, you know, knowledge. So he has to have a certain level of education. He has to have a certain level of understanding. He has to have a certain level of intelligence also, to understand what he's reading or to understand and to grasp what is being said. He needs to have a purified mind. Okay. All these are prerequisites for jnana. Qualifications are there. You have to qualify for the path of knowledge. For karma also, you need to know what to do, what karma to do and how to do it. Karma, we can just go on doing, but we have to know how to do it before we do it. So karma also, there is a qualification. Yoga also, you have to follow the Ashtanga. If you're following Patanjali's Yama, Niyama, all those, even if you're not following Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, the Ashtanga Yoga, you know, the disciplines of the body, the disciplines of the mind, pranayama, pratyahara. So that is not easy. I told you, pranayama should never be attempted without a teacher, without a guru. So there is whereas with bhakti, what happens is we already have the capital of love. Why? Because I love myself from beginning. Now, love is there. Love is already there. Nobody can say that I have absolutely no love, because you are loving yourself. That is for sure. Even a person who commits suicide, he does it because he loves himself. You know why? Because I am not happy in this life, and now I'll get a better life. You know, I want something better than this life. And that's why that suicide is happening. So there was one man who decided to go to the beach and drown himself in the ocean to commit suicide. So he went, and as he was walking to the beach, there was a suitcase over there. So he thought, oh, who has left this suitcase over here? So he went and he opened it, and it was full of dollars. You know, it was full of money. He said, oh, maybe I don't need to commit suicide. So he took the bag and he went back. So it's even for suicide, we are looking for happiness. People, this is the question that they ask. If I love myself most, but there are people who are committing suicide also. Just now, some actor has committed suicide in India, right? Depression, whatever, doesn't matter. But that is because they're looking for something better. For me, I'm not happy in this life for whatever reason. So let me do something which will give me happiness. With bhakti, it is like a rich man's son trying to open up a business. See, if the father is rich, already has the money. Now this son wants to start a business. He already has the capital of money. But if a poor man's son is there, now this son is going to have to go to the bank, get a loan, go to his friends, or earn some money in a job before he can start a business. Bhakti is like that. Bhakti, the love is already there. Love for myself is there. Even if I say, even spider, you know, like Guruji had put it, even Mr. Spider, Mrs. Spider loves him. Love is there within us. We either love somebody else or definitely we love ourselves. Even if I say I do not love anybody else or any object, I love myself. So that love is only to be redirected. That's all there is to be done. And with bhakti, the other three things, knowledge, karma and yoga, please remember, they cannot be done without love. If I have no love or liking for the subject, am I going to read that book? If I have no love, karma yoga, karma becomes karma yoga because of love. Because I love my children, or I love my family, or I love my country, or I love my whatever society, mission, club, guru, whatever, I do work with that attitude. So love is there also. Yoga also requires love. Like, you have to like the thing to do it. You can't do something that you don't like at all. So bhakti is there. It is, you know, like you go to the bathroom to take a shower and you have like tons of soap and shampoo and perfume and all that, but no water. You open the faucet, no water. You'll take shower? Can you take shower? Bhakti is like that water. Clothes. There are hundreds of varieties of, you know, there's Tide and Gain and God knows how many varieties of soap. Okay, so detergent is there. But every detergent has to have water. No matter what detergent, you can say the most expensive I will buy, you know, organic or whatever, and I will wash it without water. You can't wash clothes without water, right? So water is very essential. Detergent, you can use many. Soaps, you can use many. Shampoos, there is a variety. You can take any. It doesn't matter. So that way, these other parts, you can take whatever part. You're intelligent. Okay, fine. You want the logical reasoning, cause and effect behind everything. Go for knowledge. Go for karma. You're a karma yogi. But without love, none of these will really take you to the destination. That's why he says that this, there is no adhikara, and that's why it is very vishesha. It is very special. Bhakti is special. It has to be there in everything. Okay. Now he talks about the pashus also. Pashvadayopi bhaktaiva prapnuvan paramam padam katha bhagavati chatra. Chatra pramanam hina saushayah. Even animals, etc., have attained the supreme abode through devotion alone. The story of the Lord, Ramayana and Bhagavata, is undoubtedly proof of this fact. There are many instances. Jatayu from Ramayana attained liberation. In Bhagavat Puran, there is a story about Jadabharat. Through the deer, or did he come back again? Jadabharat, I think he became a deer. Okay, the story goes of Jadabharat, he was a rishi in his previous life. He was very meditative and almost a realized soul maybe, but yeah, somewhere very, very close, very, very high. What happened was one day when he had gone to the river to take a bath, there was a deer, a female deer, pregnant. She was drinking water, and suddenly the lion came and he roared loudly. So the deer got frightened, the mother, and she gave birth immediately, and she died. So this Rishi, who was going to take a bath, felt extreme compassion for that little baby deer. You know, that doe, is it called a doe? DOE. So the little baby, he felt extreme compassion and he picked it up and he brought it to his ashram. And then that baby started growing up in his lap, literally. So when he was in samadhi, you know, when he was meditating, she'll sit in the lap, he or she, whatever. And then he will feed her or him and he'll love her. And, you know, and what happened was at the last, this is how attachment, you know, this attachment causes the fall of man. He got attached to that deer. Okay, and he was like realized or almost there. And at the last minute, when he gave up his breath, he had the thought, who will look after? See, even at that stage of evolution, he should have known that God looked after that baby, because you were there and that mother died, gave birth and died, and you picked it. So that means God looked after. But you see, in attachment, you forget. He forgot, and the thought was, who will look after this deer when I'm gone? I told you even previously that we have to have the faith that God is the one that is looking after all of us. So then what happened was, because that was his last thought, Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, Bhagwan said, whatever is your last thought, so he comes as a deer. Now, because of his tapas that he had already done, even in the deer body, he remembered everything that had happened in the previous birth. And he realized his mistake. He realized his mistake that I fell into this animal body because of attachment. So then he completed his prarabdha as in that animal body, and he was born as Bharat. His name was Bharat. He was youngest among the brothers. And right from childhood, he still remembered all his previous birth. He always acted like a stupid fellow. So when his family would tell him any work, he would actually do opposite. So all he was doing was sitting and eating. That's it. He didn't do anything else. He didn't allow himself to get attached to anybody, because he knew that that is why he had fallen. Okay, so then as the story goes, then one, when he grew up and he was still just sitting and not doing any work, the brothers got very tired and they threw him out of the house. And he said, yeah, that's fine. That's what I want, because I don't want to have family and all that. And then there was a king who was going, he was going to a master, spiritual master, to study Vedanta. And one of the, you know, the people who hold the palanquin, one of them was very tired or died or whatever. And Jadabharat was sitting under the, they started calling him Jadabharat. Means you're inert. You're like not doing anything. And no matter what we tell you, and he would purposely do wrong. Even if he knew what is to be done, he will do it wrong so that they won't tell him again. That's how he was. So they said, you know, do you want to carry this palanquin? Just help us take the king. He said, okay, fine. When he started going, he said, one dirt is carrying another dirt, he said, actually. King said, what are you saying? He said, no, nothing. Means I am also dirt and I'm carrying another dirt. That's what he meant. But what he started doing was, every time he saw a little insect, a little ant, he was hopping over them. So the king said, what are you doing? You know, why are you like jumping up and down? Can't you walk straight? And he said, he says it's one dirt carrying another. When he said that, the king heard and he realized that I need not go anywhere. This is the realized master. He's a realized master. Because if he knows that he himself, this body is dirt, and what he's carrying is also dirt, his consciousness is, you know, cannot be carried by anybody. That means he's a realized master. Point is, through animal birth, there have been liberations, which has been said here in Bhagavad. There are many stories But we have to remember that in the previous birth, they had done a lot of tapas and a lot of studying. The reason I'm telling you is, please don't think it's okay if I get an animal body next time, I will realize in that body. No. No. If our studies are not to that level, we won't remember what happened and we will never get realization through animal body. Animal body is only meant for exhaustion of vasanas. But there are special cases and all these are through bhakti. Jatayu is completely through bhakti. So here, Kevata, Guruji has given examples. Kevata, Shabri, through bhakti alone, those people who have got through bhakti alone, liberation through bhakti alone. Shabri was a tribal woman. Shabri's story, I'll tell you. Gopis in their previous birth, you know, in Ramayana is before Krishna Janma, Dwapar Yuga. In Ramayana, when Rama went to the forest, there were so many rishis that he helped. Right? He helped a lot of rishis. Those rishis, seeing Rama's beautiful figure, they had this love for him. The love of a beloved they had for him. And it is said that these rishis came as gopis in Krishna Janma. Because in Rama Avatar, you know, they were all rishis. They could not express that love like the gopis could. So they came as gopis. And that's why when we see the bhakti of the gopis, it is not suddenly that has come in that life. It was from previous births. They had the knowledge. That's why gopis always had the knowledge that you and I are one. It wasn't, as people put it, you know, Ras, sometimes they misunderstand this Ras Leela, so many gopis, one Krishna. No. They knew exactly that they are one. And because that they were rishis in the periods of Ramayana. So that's their story. Shabri also was a queen in her previous birth. And she was very fond of satsang, like Mirabai, you know. Mirabai's husband was very good. So he allowed her to do. But this Shabri's husband was not that good. Like He thought that you are of royal blood. You are royal family. You should not be mixing with all these low lives. Because he thought all these saints and sages and sadhus were all low lives. So there was a Kumbh Mela at one time. And so they had gone, the king and queen. And she just disappeared. And she just went with the sadhus and she would just do satsang with them in their tent, you know, where there was nothing. Right? So the king got really mad. He said, you're a queen. What are you doing with all these, you know, like nomads kind of people and all that. So he got very mad at her. And she felt very sad that, you know, they are such great Mahatmas. They're so great. And my husband can't even recognize them. So she prayed to the Lord. She said, my high birth is becoming an obstacle in my devotion. Because she was always being told, you're a queen. You can't mix with them. You're a queen. She said, you know, next time she said, Bhagwan, I want a low birth. I want a low birth. But what happened with her prarabdha was that she came as so much of a low birth in very tribal she was like, even in the tribes, there is a hierarchy. She was in the lowest of the lowest. That's how she got her birth. But she had wished for it. That's why we have to be very careful of our thoughts. Whatever we think, whatever we wish, it will come. So, and then that her low birth became an obstacle, because then they wouldn't let her in the ashram because she was too low for a birth. So for her, it was very, you know, but her devotion was there. So then ultimately she at 12 or 13, they wanted to get her married. She ran away from home. She didn't want to get married. And she was going from ashram to ashram asking for, you know, let me come and serve. And nobody let her in because she was of low birth. So one day, then she realized that she thinks that nobody is going to let me in. So she comes to the ashram of Matang Rishi once, and she watches and she sees that his disciples in the morning, they go and they bring flowers, they bring this little wood and, you know, whatever they bring, water for the ashram, for the daily prayers and all. So what she started doing was, in the middle of the night, whatever they would collect in the morning, she would collect and put it outside the gate of that ashram. And one day the disciples came and they saw, and they thought, oh, nice. You know, we don't have to go anywhere. So they thought, okay, somebody has done this for us. They took it in. Next day they went, it was there again. Next day they went, it was there again. Then they went and told the Guru, Matang Rishi. They said, you know, first day we thought maybe somebody just left it. But now this is happening on a daily basis. That means, so Matan Rishi said, you keep vigil during the night. There is somebody who is doing this. You keep vigil and you bring that person in. So that night they keep awake and they see Shabri doing all these things. So they bring Shabri in. They said, no, our guru has called you. So she comes and he says, why were you doing all this? Then she says, I'm of low birth. Nobody's, you know, you are all high, this thing. So Matan Rishi recognizes her devotion and says, no, you are going to be now my disciple. You will stay in the ashram. And then when he leaves with his disciples, he tells her, you don't come because the Lord is himself going to come to you one day. Himself. That is bhakti. You know, when the Lord is coming to you, in knowledge, this doesn't happen. Knowledge, you know, it's like very dry, right? Okay, you and I are one. So there's no... But in bhakti, this happens. So Matan Rishi told her, you stay here, you wait. She was a young girl when he had left the ashram. He leaves the ashram to her. And she was an old lady by the time Sri Ram came. And every day, as everybody knows, she would collect the fruits and she would eat and throw away all the sour ones and keep the sweet ones and clean the ashram every day. And any person that walked in, she'd say, Sri Ram, Sri Ram, Sri Ram. Every person, because she didn't know. There was no internet, no photo. You know, WhatsApp. Here's the photo. Sri Ram is going to come. There was nothing like that. So she didn't know. And she didn't know what form he would come in. Like he, but only she had faith in a guru. If my guru has said that Sri Ram is going to come, then he's going to come. And when he came, she said again, Sri Ram. He said, how did you know my name? How do you know that it's me? She said, no, I don't. I've been expecting you. This is what my guru had told me, that you would come. And every person since that day, for so many years, whoever has come to the ashram, I've asked him that. So I'm asking you. He says, yes, I am. And then because Lakshman gets very angry, Lakshman is a very high, you know, temperature, anger, angry person. He gets very angry that she has given all these jhuta, you know, like she's eaten and given. Then Ram says, no, it's her devotion. That's why Bhagwan in Bhagavad Gita also has said, with whatever bhav, if they offer me pushpam, patram, phalam, toyam, one flower, one petal, one leaf, if not just water, but bhava, whatever is there, then I accept. So that's why bhakti is supreme love. I want to read to you a passage which has come to me from SIF, Chinmay International Foundation. It is a visiting speaker and writer R. Bal Subramaniam. He just talks about bhakti, and this just came to me. So bhakti equals constant dwelling of the mind in God. Constant dwelling of the mind in God. The thought stream of the mind of a bhakta is continuous or uninterrupted. See, in meditation also we say continuous, nirvikalpa samadhi, continuous thought of aham brahmasmi. That is knowledge. Bhakti is Sri Ram, Sri Ram, Sri Ram, Sri Ram. It's same thing. All other thought streams must be excluded from the mind. Constant knowledge stream of the mind, which is focused on God, is bhakti or love. See? Constant knowledge stream. Knowledge stream means what? Means the oneness knowledge is there. The knowledge of oneness between me and Sri Ram is there. And now I'm thinking only of Sri Ram. Like that. Okay? Bhakti or love. When the knowledge stream is about God and God alone, then it is called love of God. God is the support and controller of everything. All right? So that is what your bhakti is. Next, kama, dvesh. So point is that through animal births, bhakti is so great that through animal body also there has been liberation. But in the previous birth, there is a background that should be remembered. So there has to be some background, not that suddenly any animal will get it. Kama dveshad bhayadvapi vairabhavena sarvada yesmaranti chatam devam tepianti param gatim. So there is one thing about loving God and remembering him in love, but bhakti is so great, means remembrance is so great that you can, scripture say, you can even hate him and love him. And God is so compassionate. That's what I say. those who constantly remember the Lord, even out of passion, hatred, fear, or enmity. So negative qualities also, you know, they too attain the supreme goal. This is very interesting, this thing. So if we see examples, Kaus was there. Kaus was thinking about him out of fear all the time. Ravan was there. Ravan never even uttered the word Ram. Those of you who have read Tulsi Ramayana, he always said Tapasvi. He never said Ram. He was scared. He was scared to take the name. He used to say, oh, that Tapasvi, that Tapasvi, that Tapasvi. Like that he would refer to Sri Ram. Raman was there. Shishupal was there. Shishupal hated him. There is a story of Paundraka because it's mentioned here. Paundraka sought to imitate the Lord in envy. And I'll tell you the story of Paundraka also. Kubja loved Sri Krishna in passion. So the point will come. Like, so the point is that, okay, if I love the Lord and I remember him, he will give me. But I can also hate the Lord. Because you see, in hate also, in fear also, you're constantly thinking of that person, right? You hate that person. Sometimes, you know, the people you love, you don't remember. But those who hate, you remember. Or if you're jealous of somebody. Or if you're fearful, though you will only Ravan to whole day and night, because he had done wrong. He knew he had done wrong, right? It kidnapped his wife. So he was out of fear, constantly remembering the Lord. And whoever Bhagwan killed, they all got moksha. They all got liberated. Putana also. Putana's story is, she was the daughter of King Bali. You know, Prahlad's grandson in Vamana Avatar, Bali had a daughter. Okay. So when this Vaman Bhagwan came, very, you know, cute, very, very cute 8-year-old, right? This girl had an extreme desire to breastfeed him because he was very cute, like a baby, Vaman. She had extreme. And then what happened was, then all this drama happened of, you know, he asking for 3 steps and he became big and he stepped on her father's head, right? Then she had extreme hatred for him at that point. So both she felt at that point, and Bhagwan said, Tathastu. Bhagwan is always like that. Whatever, that's why you have to be very careful. Whatever thought comes, he says, Tathastu. So next birth she came as Putana. She fed him, breastfed him, and he liberated her. Liberated, right? Because first she wanted to breastfeed Vaman. That's the thought she had come, and then she had extreme hatred for him. So that he fulfilled in this birth of Putana. So yes. And the reason that Bhagwan gives liberation is because Bhagwan is extremely compassionate. Okay. Vinita, are you getting a headache? Okay. So, but the point in there is no beauty in that liberation. Think about it. Whole life you're going to lead in fear, jealousy, anger, envy. Is there any beauty in those feelings, or is there, you know, that you know, your heart is shivering, right? Oh God, is he, any knock on the door? Oh, did he come? Did he? So you're thinking of the person, and but there is no beauty in your own life. Whereas if you love God, then it is so beautiful, it is so pleasing, it is so nice. So there is liberation at the end, and that is because of Bhagwan's compassion, but your own life is hell only. So your whole life is hell, then ultimately you get liberation. Now what is the point? That's why. Paundraka's story is that Paundraka is a character in Bhagavat, it comes. He thought he wanted to imitate Bhagwan. So he actually made 2 extra arms and he had put them on the, so like with 4 arms, he was going around apparently thinking that he's Bhagwan, you know, like Krishna, but those arms were not real. They were made out of, I believe, straw and cloth, something like that. There's a description. So that's, he wanted to imitate the Lord in every way, but obviously you can't, you cannot imitate Lord, right? So the Lord liberates even those who hate him, Guruji says. Then what is his special gift to those who love him? Like, so if you say, okay, Bhagwan, then you're liberating them also. And then why, what's the point in my loving you? I can also hate you and remember you, and then you liberate me at the end. So that's why now Bhagwan, Guruji says, Kim punar bhakti sayukta jana devam bhajantiha. Tesham prema vashad devaha swayam bhavati sevakaha. Then, what to say about those who worship God with devotion? In fact, because of their love, God himself becomes their servant. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Holy smokes. Bhagwan Krishna, the charioteer of Arjuna. And as the charioteer, he didn't say, I am Bhagwan. So, you know, in the evening now, somebody else will wash the horses, because charioteer's job was what? Not just drive the chariot, but take care of the horses also, like bathe them, feed them, clean them. And it is said that Bhagwan did all those things. Couldn't he have said, you think if he had told Yudhishthir, you know, okay, now I've come, I'm tired now, get somebody to clean the horses. Do you think they wouldn't have done it? Arjun would have done it for him, right? But he said, no, I have taken on this role of charioteer. And the reason there also, the reason is that as Sri Ram, see, Ram was born as a royal king. Okay, so one thing in Ramayana is that Sri Ram never served any animals. If you read Ramayana, he did all the rishis, he saved them, and Ahalya, Uddhar, and all that, and killing Ravana, etc., etc. So that was one thing in his mind, it seems, in Bhagwan's mind, that I didn't serve the animals. So in Krishna avatar, cows. That's why the name Gopal and Govind, right? He tended the cows and then the horses. And he was doing everything for them. So he became, and in the Bhagavad Gita, he has said, I am a servant of my devotees. Means what? Therefore, you know, Prahlad Stuti, for those who are listening, in Hiranyakashipu, he tried to kill him and all that. And then he said, what? Is your God in this pillar? And Prahlad said, yes, he's in the pillar. Therefore, Bhagwan had to come out of the pillar. Why? Because his devotee uttered those words. That yes, Bhagwan is in the pillar. So Bhagwan came out of the pillar. Narsimha came out of the pillar. So whatever the devotee says, Bhagwan is waiting there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? That is the beauty. He was not servant to all these Ravana and Kamsa and all that. No, he didn't have hatred for them, but he would not be. But this is what it is. If you love God, and you can love in various forms, and I think that's going to come, or okay, he'll come probably. If not, I'll tell you. So you can set up a relationship with God of any way, you know, and I think it's going to come later on in the book. If it doesn't, I'll tell you. So there are many stories of devotees, and I've told you this before. The reason to read about lives of saints is that is the practical of the theory that we study in knowledge. Like in Bhagavad Gita, he said, I become the servant of my devotees, right? He said it. Where is the proof? Proof is the charioteer. Proof is when he was taking care of the cows. You become the servant of even the taking care of this thing, and servant of the devotees, right? So in Maharashtra, there have been many saints. I was listening to, there's a Maharashtrian person who's telling us about Adhyatma, and he said, I don't know how far it is true, because there are a lot of saints in South India as well. He says that Maharashtra has the largest number of saints. That was, he said, huh? I don't know. Chokha Mela is one of a low birth. He was a person of low birth, but extremely devoted to Bhagwan Vitthal. They're all Vitthal devotees in Maharashtra. And Vitthal is avatar of Vishnu, Bhagwan Vishnu. Pandharpur, if you guys have heard the name, Vitthal Bhagwan and Rukmini, his wife's name is Rukmini. They're in the temple, the Kshetra, Tirtha Kshetra is Pandharpur for the Maharashtrians, and everybody walks there, you know, once a year in Varkari and all that, whatever. So Chokham, and Vitthal Bhagwan's favorite food is curds and rice. So that is the prasad, that is the nevedya that is made for him. And of course, being of low birth, he was never allowed to go inside the temple those days. They were not allowed, they were backward class. And what, there is two stories that I would like to share. So what happens is, once this Chokha Mela, his wife is pregnant, huh? And he has gone somewhere. He's stuck there. He gets stuck there. And he's worried about his wife. You know, she has to deliver the baby, and you know what will happen, etc., etc. So after months, that time they used to walk or, you know, go in the bullock cart. There was no trains or anything. So after months and months, first it was decided that his sister would be there near his wife. But then his sister says, oh, I can't make it. He thinks that the sister is going to be there. Anyway, after months and months, he comes back and already the wife has delivered and all that. And he says, oh, I'm so sorry I couldn't come. And, you know, you were alone. How did you do all this? And she says, but I was not alone. He says, no, you were not alone. She says, no, your sister was here. He says, really? She says, yeah, your sister was here and she helped me with the delivery, everything, and fine. And just yesterday only she left. You said you had sent message you were coming, so she left yesterday. And he says, oh, that's surprising. Later on, when he meets his sister, she apologizes. She says, you know, I'm so sorry. I was supposed to come, but I couldn't come. I couldn't come. And the wife says, no, you were here. And it is said that Vitthal Bhagwan himself became the sister and came and stayed with her. And the day he was to arrive, he left. Devotee, servant of the devotee. And she took care of her. He, you know, took, just as you would take care of a person who has delivered, a lady who has delivered, right? The other story about Chokhama, a very famous saint, is that he had this, you know, extreme desire that I should feed this curd rice to Vitthal Bhagwan because that's his favorite food. And he was in Pandharpur. And what happens was he dreams that he went to the temple and he fed Bhagwan. And he had requested the priest that, can I come and do this? And they said, absolutely not. You cannot enter. You're not of Brahmin caste or whatever caste and you cannot come in. But what happens the next day morning when the priests go in, the temple is all locked through the night, right? They go in the morning, they open the door, and on the lips of the idol, there is curd rice. And the priest, you know, they think this guy came in the middle of the night and he has done this. Actually, all the locks are intact. Everything is intact. You know, everything is, door is shut and everything. So what they do is they tie him to the bulls and they start beating the bulls. That the bulls would run and he would be dragged. Okay. That's his punishment because they say you have broken the law. You have entered the temple and the wife is watching in the crowd. Okay. There's a whole crowd that gathers there. Nobody can say anything. These are the high priests, you know, whoever they are, whatever powers they have. And they have done this. And she's crying and she's also a great devotee of Vitthal Bhagwan. And she cries out to Vitthal, said, please save my husband, you know. And suddenly she sees Vitthal Bhagwan. It is, you know, it's said there. She actually sees him standing and holding the bulls. And only she sees. The whole crowd doesn't see. And they're beating the bulls with the, you know, whip. They're whipping the bulls because they want the bulls to run and the bulls are not moving. Because he, you know, like Bhagwan is holding the horses in Mahabharata, we see. That way Vitthal Bhagwan, and only she sees. She's, nothing happens. Like, you know, so these are the stories that we need to read and have faith in. Otherwise, we won't believe these things. Like when Bhagwan says, yeah, I'm a servant of the devotee. Yeah, but what is the proof? This is the proof. So this is why the lives of saints and bhakti becomes important, even though we consider ourselves to be on the path of knowledge and we have knowledge and everything. This type of rasa, which is there in Sagun Sakar, if we go back to our chapter 12, is not there in Nirgun Nirakar. There is no form, no this thing, oneness, just one. Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi. Devotee never says Aham Brahmasmi, never says Tattvamasi. He says no. And Bhagwan says, I am your servant. I'm your servant. So these there are many, many such, this thing, even of Odisha, same type of story is there. There's a Muslim devotee, he was not allowed to go into the temple because this is a Vishnu temple, why the Muslim should come in. And same thing, if the chariot won't move, and there is a proclamation, divine proclamation, that unless he is touching the chariot is not going to move. You know, Rathi Yatra they do, say unless that Muslim devotee just touches the chariot, it's not going to move. So this is how Bhagwan functions. That is the beauty of devotion, of having love for God. Otherwise, you'll get liberation anyways. Okay? Now, bhakti phalam. Karma yoga phalam shuddhihi manas sarva sammatam chitta vritter nirodhastu phalam yogasya varnitam. It has been accepted by all that purity of mind is the result of the yoga of action, and the cessation of all thoughts is that of yoga. So karma yoga, we have talked about this many, many times. Karma to be converted into karma yoga only for purification of the mind, because there cannot be knowledge through karma. Karma cannot give knowledge. And so the ultimate result of karma, that too when performed as karma yoga, so with our five conditions, you know, as duty, asangatvam, kartavya buddhi, asanga buddhi, samarpan buddhi, prasad buddhi, and samatva buddhi, equanimity. There is duty, equanimity, surrender, acceptance, which is prasad buddhi, the result, acceptance, and detachment, asanga buddhi. So if you're asked to leave the karma or the phala, there should be no agitation, but that will only give you purification. Yoga, Patanjali's sutra number 2 is yoga chitta vritti nirodha yoga. So yoga is withdrawal of cessation of the mind, cessation of thought is yoga. So that is the result of yoga. But bhakti, these are two, but bhakti will give you the oneness. It will give you that aham brahmasmi realization. It will give you liberation. So the result of bhakti is far greater than karma and yoga. Karma yoga and yoga. And yoga here means hatha yoga. Okay. Next. And here he has given the thought modifications. Pramana, vipraya, saushaya, nidra, smriti. All those are the types of thoughts that go through our mind, and those have to be curtailed. So that is what it is.
Brahmatmaikatva vidnyanat muktim prahur manishinaha etat sarvam tu bhakteva praptam bhaktaistadodhikam.
So the great thinkers declare that liberation is gained through the realization of the oneness of the self with Brahman. However, devotees gain all these and more through devotion alone. So in devotion, what happens? Everything gets included, because see, I told you, karma yoga cannot happen unless there is love. Yoga also cannot happen unless there is love. Knowledge also, you have to have love for the books, for reading, for the scriptures. So love is required, like water is required for any kind of cleaning. Bhakti is required for that. So, and with bhakti, you already have the capital. So bhakti itself will give. That's what Narad Bhakti Sutra says. Bhakti is the means as well as the goal. Supreme love for God when you have, and that's what I read to you, that message, that thought stream is only towards God. That is extreme, you know, with Mirabai. We have seen these examples with Mirabai, Surdas, Kabirdas, Hanumanji. Always the thought of God. There is a story where Sitaji gives him a pearl necklace and he starts biting and, you know, he says, what are you doing? The real pearls. He says, no, there's Sri Ram is, I cannot see him inside there. So what good are those pearls for me? Hanumanji says, he starts biting those pearls, breaking them into two. And Sitaji says, what are you doing? This is not cultured pearls. This is real pearls, my pearl necklace. He says, no, but I need to see Sri Ram in there. He's not there. Now, what good are your pearls? It doesn't matter whether they're real or whatever. They don't have what I want. That is what bhakti is. So, and the bhakta doesn't even ask for liberation. He's very happy, very content, just loving God. And so, you know, that is what it is. That yasya deva parabhakti. All these results are auto, karma and yoga and all this. All the reason, why does the mind get purified? What is a purified mind? Absence of likes and dislikes. In bhakti, what is happening? Your thought is only of God. Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam we saw. So thought is only of God. When the devotee looks everywhere else, he only sees his Ishta Devata. What other thought will come in his mind? How will his mind get impure when all he can think of is only his Ishta Devata? So this Karma Yoga, result of Karma Yoga, which is purity of mind, he's getting through devotion. Yoga is Chitta Vritti Nirodha, cessation of thought. All other thoughts are ceased for him because he cannot think of anything else but the Lord. That's why when he sees the pearls, he says, is Lord in there? Can I see my Lord in there? Otherwise, the pearls are no good to me. We look at the pearls and we are enamored by the pearls. But the devotee is looking for this. It's the example is given of the goldsmith. You know, when a woman walks into a jeweler's shop, her attention is only on the name and form. But if the goldsmith walks in, then he will see the gold in there, right? So this is what bhakti. So in bhakti, basically, you don't have to do karma yoga. Karma yoga will just happen. Yoga, the result of yoga will just happen. The result of karma yoga you will get without doing karma yoga. Karma yoga you have to do, then you can get the result. Na? Yoga you have to do, you have to practice all those asanas. The Ashtanga yoga you practice, then you will get Chitta Vritti Nirodha. But bhakti is what? Just love God and you get all these results. That is the specialty of bhakti, devotion. Okay. So we'll stop here and we'll continue next time. 31. So we have completed 50% of the text. What I wanted to ask all of you, I asked you last time, is whether you would like to continue during the summer. We would generally close for July and August. So I want to sort of ask everybody from Calgary class only, what do you want to do? We will be completing this text. We will continue the class till we complete the text. There is the discussion. So whether you want to do the text, discuss, and then continue, or do the text, take a break, then do the discussion. How many of you are wanting the class and how many of you would like a break? You can unmute yourselves and tell me one by one. Sati, we start with you.
I'm okay in summer. I'm okay in summer.
You're okay in summer to have the class. Okay, Padmeja?
I'll be away for just 1 week, the first week of July, but the rest of summer I'm here.
And you would like to continue with the class? Dharam Bharadwaj, are you from Calgary or Saskatoon? Leela, I know, is from Saskatoon.
Okay.
Yes,
Calgary only.
Okay. Would you like the class to continue or how?
Whatever you want.
It's not what I want. I'm trying to see what you want. Lata, what about you?
Yeah, it should be okay. We have the class.
Murli.
Yeah, I would like class all summer.
Abhimanyu.
Yeah, I'll go with the majority.
Okay. Owner's iPhone. I don't know who it is. Calgary or Saskatoon? Who's owner's iPhone?
Denver.
You're from Denver?
Yeah. She's from Denver.
Okay. I cannot include you in the poll. Suman?
I'm fine, Jayaji. Yes.
Yes. Lakshmi? You're Calgary? Lakshmi's from Calgary?
That's me, from Saskatoon.
Saskatoon. Okay, Raj. Raj is Calgary, I know.
Yes, I'll be available and I'll be glad to keep it going.
Okay, thank you. Madhuri?
Yes.
Calgary or Saskatoon?
Calgary. Yes.
Would you like to continue with the class?
Yes, please continue.
Vinita?
Just continue. Continue.
Okay, thank you. Mohini?
I said continue, yes.
Continue?
Yes. Yes, please.
And Kalpana?
For it.
Yes, continue with the class, please.
And Raj is in Red Deer, but he's Calgary. I know. Raj, what would you like to do?
Well, I'd like to attend the class, that's all.
No, it's the other Raj,
actually. That's the other Raj.
It's the other Raj, Red Deer. Oh. Padmaja's husband, I think.
Okay.
Who is Esha Kumar's? I don't know. Are they Calgary or?
Calgary.
I don't know. I've not seen them.
She's
so.
Calgary, Jayaji.
Can you please unmute and tell me if you want the class to continue, please? Who is Ulas Kapoor? Is that Usha? Usha Kapoor?
Kulwant.
Kulwant is, Kulwant, would you like, are you from Calgary?
Saskatoon, yes. Saskatoon. I'd like to continue. Yeah.
Okay, Rajendra Sharma? It's Usha, no? Usha, that is, right? Rajendra Sharma?
Raj already answered.
He already answered, Jayaji.
Rajendra already answered?
Yeah, it's Raj.
Raj Sharma,
Calgary.
Raj Red. There is a Raj Red Deer and Rajendra Sharma.
I think Raj Red Deer is Padmaja's.
Ganesh, okay.
Rajendra Sharma is from Saskatoon.
Friend from Red Deer.
Okay. So majority consensus. I'm taking the consensus because my Sunday class will continue and my Saturday class is being cancelled. Cancelled in the sense for the summer, it's going to take a break. So if you'd like to have a class, then the time slot Saturday morning, it'll be 10 to 11 for you guys will be available. If you would like to move to Saturday just for the summer. So that instead of Monday, morning time is always a better time. So... I will, BC time, it'll start at 9 for me or whoever's joining from BC. And for you guys, it'll be 10.
We already have a class on Saturday.
Oh, Saturday morning you have a class. So you want to keep Monday evening then?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Oh, Sunday.
Sunday, I have a class.
Okay, so that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Sunday. Yeah.
Sunday evening is good.
Sorry?
Monday evening is better.
Sunday evening.
If you can do it, yeah.
Now let's carry on with Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Sunday. You guys decide amongst yourselves. Monday evening
is better.
People like to socialize, but now there is no socializing, so I don't know.
No, let's stick with Monday. Everybody's saying Monday.
Yeah, Monday. Okay, we stick with Monday evening. No problem for me. And so basically then we will complete the text, complete the discussion, and we will be going into chapter 13 of the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
Right. And we'll be continuing. Okay. So that's decided. I'm just, because I need to get a schedule prepared and send it out, etc. And I will be sending the Calgary link also to certain people in Vancouver. So whoever wants to join can join in. All right. Okay, so we shall continue. We will continue next time. We will close now. Om Swasti Prajabhyav Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Gobrahmanebhya Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha Prithivisasya Shalini Desho Yamkshobarahitaha Brahmana Santu Nirbhayaha Om Sarvesham Swasti Bhavatu Sarvesham Shantir Bhavatu Sarvesham Purnam Bhavatu, Sarvesham Mangalam Bhavatu, Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashantu, Makasya Dukkabhag Bhavet, Om Asatoma Sadgamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya, Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Before I go, the Saskatoon, whoever needs the Bhagavad Gita set, if you can get it from Abhimanyu, please. If you don't have, either you can have the Holy Gita or the set, but Abhimanyu, will you make sure that all the Saskatoon people and whoever is joining from Denver, there should be an ashram.
We don't have any 13 by itself.
No, the set you have, no. The Bhagavad Gita set you have or no? You have no Bhagavad Gita set at all? Like the whole set?
We don't have any sets. No, we don't have any sets.
You don't have Bhagavad Gita at all? Okay.
The whole 18 chapter in one is there, but no set, no individual books.
Okay, so those of you who would like the Holy Gita, which is at the hardbound, take it from there. If not, then let me know, then I will mail it out to you. We have sets here.
Yeah, we don't have the individual chapter.
Yeah. I will check with the rest of them in Saskatoon and let you know.
That would be better. And ask them if they want the Holy Gita. If they're okay with that, then Calgary can send it to you. But if they want the set, so there are different chapters, so you can just bring that one book. You know, that's why the different chapters is easy.
Sure, we'll do that.
Okay, before we start. So there is still time, then we can do that. Okay. Hari Om, everybody. I'll see you next Monday.
Jenny, how is your daughter?
Sorry?
How is your daughter in New York?
She's okay. She was in Long Island for the last almost 2 months with her friend's parents. And now she has come back to the city because the city is opening up, right? They're opening up in phases, New York. Okay, so far so good. Fingers crossed. Yeah,
it's really tough out there.
Huh? Yeah, so far so good. And my daughter-in-law is pregnant. She's expecting, by the way.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah. August 10th. So that was really nice. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Better finish the podcast ahead of time.
Sounds like you need a break.
I am. My Saturday class, they wanted a break, so I do get a break. That's why I was offering you that time.
Yeah, but you're going to be Dadima, eh?
Yeah, I'm going to be a Dadima. Yeah.
Boy or a girl?
Boy.
Oh, very nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Very nice.
It's good.
How is your arm? How is your arm, Suman?
It's good. Okay, so next Monday, I'll find out.
Okay, good. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. See you next Monday.
Hari Om. Shadi.